Today on Real Radio.
The Bible says in the Old Testament that when Jesus Christ comes in the second coming, the people of Israel will say to him, "Where did you receive these wounds? On your hands and your feet." And Jesus will say to them, the house of Israel, "These are the wounds that I received in the house of my friends. Doubt and unbelief crucified me."
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative. Part of chapter 19 tells us of a Jewish sect that denied the final resurrection, which has yet to take place. Well, Jesus was challenged by a group of these. They posed another question designed to trip up the Messiah. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Resurrection Factor.
The last thing to become like Christ is this body of ours. The more that we consume, spend time with God, in obedience to God, in the Word of God, what is of God in the life of the believer, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to take you from glory to glory until the Scripture says, Christ be formed in you. I think as we ingest the things of God, eventually, ultimately, it's what God has put in us that begins to come out. That's why people who knew you before you knew Jesus, and now they know you now, they say things like, "You're different. What's with you?" You know what they're saying? They're confessing without even knowing about it. Hey, all that data that's inside of you is starting to come out. Why? Because we are spiritual creations, and God is going to resurrect by reconstructing us. The very molecular arrangement of your body in resurrection will be changed and fit for heaven. That's a fun science to think about. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 says, "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in the hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Here it is. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." How cool is that? We're like a jump drive. We're like a computer. All the good stuff's on the inside. That's been deposited by God. Point number two this morning, verses 34 to 36, when will the resurrection happen? Now, we can only spend a little bit of time on this because we could spend days on it, to be honest with you. Verses 34 to 37, or 36, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage.'" People in this world, watch this, they've got to get married and propagate. They have babies. That's one of the issues the guys are making. The guy needs to carry on his name. Jesus says, in this world, getting married and having babies is the way that it is. Why? Because the human race must continue. That's what he's saying. No problem. But, verse 35, "those who are counted worthy to attain that age," that is the age to come, "and the resurrection from the dead, they don't marry nor are they given away in marriage. And they can't die anymore either. But they're equal." They're like angels in this sense, because angels don't die. Once created, they don't die. Listen, I'll give you the fine print here in a moment, but every one of you, of every human being of all time, check this out. Once we're created, the Bible's very clear, every human being will not only live forever, every human being will be resurrected. Say, what are you talking about? Yeah, non-believers too, it says. Did you know that? The Bible says that non-believers will be resurrected unto an eternal death. That stinks. Dying, but never being dead? That's called hell. Some will be resurrected to eternal life, the scripture says, some to eternal damnation. Every human will be resurrected. The question is, what side of the resurrection are you going to be on? The Jesus side or I didn't want Jesus side? Trust me, while you're breathing, don't pick that side. Don't be that crazy. What's going to happen? When will it be? Well, we know this concerning resurrection, when? That's a very technical question because we know in the Old Testament, for example, 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah, he raised from the dead the son of the widow at Zarephath, raised her son from the dead. That's in the Old Testament. Also in the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, there's individual resurrection in the sense that at the widow at the village of Nain in Israel, she had her child resurrected and restored back to her. It's nothing for God to raise the dead. This is a fun one. This is a very, very rare, hardly known passage of Scripture. It's Matthew chapter 27. That's some more of your homework today. Matthew chapter 27, read the whole thing. It's very cool. Why? Because I call that group resurrection. So what is that group resurrection? I never heard that before. Well, here, check it out. It says there in Matthew chapter 27, when Jesus Christ was being crucified, it said that the ground shook. There was an earthquake at his crucifixion. When he said, "Father, I commend my spirit into your hands," and the Bible says he released his spirit and he died. The ground shook, and the Bible says that tombs broke open in Jerusalem. And the dead came out of the tombs and walked into the city and were seen at times by up to 500 people at one time. Can you imagine? The ground shakes, Jesus is crucified, and about an hour later, you see Uncle Bill walking into town who had been dead for three years. This is amazing. Matthew 27. And then it goes on to say in the same chapter that when Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, graves broke open again, and the dead alive walked into the city. That, you know, we go, well, I don't know, that never happened. But we pay $10 to go watch some dumb movie show us things like that. It's incredible. It's awesome. So the resurrection, according to the Bible, happens in various stages. Well, I'm going to give you three that are most important to us. Number one, when will the resurrection happen? Get it down. Seconds before the rapture. But when's that going to happen? I don't know, but seconds before the rapture. Check it out. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Are you guys okay? You're so quiet. You guys all right over here? See that? They didn't say a thing. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. That's a believer's term. That's how they refer to one another. When a believer died in Jesus, they said, oh, yeah, sorry, your loved one's dead. They said, he fell asleep in Jesus. It's kind of sweet, isn't it? The body looks like it's sleeping. Concerning those who have died in Jesus, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who died in Jesus. Their body's in the ground, but Uncle Bill's with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remaining until the coming of the Lord, that's the rapture, will by no means precede those who have died in Christ. What's going to happen? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, that's their bodies, will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord. Notice the pathology. To meet the Lord in the air. And we will forever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Watch this, the rapture. Let's say it's today. You and I are walking along, and we're walking by a graveyard. Hey, man, that's a nice graveyard. And all of a sudden, can you imagine? What? I bet it's like this. Just like that. You don't want a vacation with us. That's what we do. Lisa and I were on vacation back east, and we saw a graveyard pulled over, and oh my gosh. Can you imagine walking along, and all of a sudden, man, and then you hear this incredible trumpet blast and the shout, the Lord. That's Lisa. We're going up together, trusting in the Lord there. That's back in Virginia. They got really nice old graveyards back there. And it takes place. The dead come out of the ground that trusted Christ. The dead come up. And then right before you realize it, what? This must be. Huh? We join up with them. When the Lord returns, he brings Uncle Bill with him. Uncle Bill gets united with his resurrected body. We who are living at that moment are changed instantly. That's cool. That's what I'm saying. Bring it on, Lord. And we meet them in the sky with the Lord forever, John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, you can read about that later. Simply, Jesus said, Schwarzenegger thinks he made it up. Jesus said it first, I'll be back. Jesus said in John 14, I'm coming back and I'm going to get you. It's amazing. It's awesome. The rapture. Secondly, the second coming. At the end of the tribulation period, Christ returns with all believers that trusted in him in the church age. He comes with them, the Bible tells us. And here is the resurrection. Listen to this. Mark it if you need to. Those who died for Jesus after the rapture took place, John said, there will be a number so great coming out of the great tribulation, having trusted Christ, that nobody will be able to count them. A number so great during that seven-year tribulation period of time. In fact, it's Revelation 20, verse 4. I'll read it to you in a second. When Jesus returns in the second coming, there's another resurrection, and it's the resurrection of those who died for Christ during that period of time. It says, Revelation 20, verse 4, then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who did not worship the beast or his image, and who did not receive the mark, 666, on their foreheads or on their hands, and they're resurrected in the second coming of Christ. You say, man, Pastor, what are you talking about? I heard that number before. Yeah, you're going to hear it a lot more too as time goes on. Here's the thing. You want to be a Christian today and live for Christ. And live for Christ until the day you die or the day he comes for us. Because when the tribulation period comes, we know this, that if the rapture happened this week or next month, could you imagine? The tribulation period is not far off. Can you imagine? It's very, very possible that if that were to take place, that you're alive here today, and if you're not a Christian, you're going to see things unleashed on this planet like you can't believe. And the world's going to flip, which means the world wasn't prepared for it. You think of that because if you become a believer during that period of time, the scripture says you will have to die for Jesus. What blows my mind is for 2,000 years, the scripture says that those who live for Jesus at that time and die for him will be beheaded. I kind of thought, you know what, maybe they'll be electrocuted. Maybe they'll be drowned. Maybe they'll be given a pill. No, it says they'll be beheaded. Don't you think it's weird that the word beheading now is common to you? That ought to wake you up. There's a lot of people out there, 1.9 billion people, whose doctrine teaches literally the word beheading to all those who do not believe like they do. Oh, that's just metaphorical. Well, let's see them metaphorically cut your metaphorical head off. I'm not feeling this. Third, the great white throne judgment. This is the biggest bummer. The resurrection that's makes up of the great white throne judgment. It's Revelation chapter 20, verse 6 that teaches, blessed is he who has a part in the first resurrection, over such the second death, that is the resurrection of the dead, has no power. You guys, the Bible teaches that at the end of the reign of Jesus Christ here on earth, all of the unbelieving dead will be resurrected and stand before Christ in the end. There they will be presented to the Father. It's called the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20, and you do not want to be there. Every person resurrected to the great white throne judgment has no hope of heaven. They're already condemned. John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 28 says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, and some will come forth. Those who have done good, we'll find out what that is at the end of this message. What does it mean to do good? To the resurrection of life. To those who have done evil, to the resurrection of damnation. The great white throne judgment. Third and final point this morning, verses 37 to 40. How will the resurrection affect you? Well, number one, mark it down. It's going to be all powerful, that's for sure. Jesus said to them, listen, read Moses. If you only believe in the first five books of the Bible, Jesus is saying to them, then read them. Moses said that when he called the Lord or called out to God, he says that he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. Don't you love that statement of Jesus? What are you thinking, you bunch of Sadducees? You crazy people? Moses called out to the Lord, and the answer was, he's the Lord of Abraham. I got news for you. God hangs out with living people. He doesn't hang out with dead people. When they heard that, that had to just flip them over, because Moses was announcing that God is the God of the living, not the dead, because it means that Abraham, though his body's removed from the earth, he's alive. It means that Jacob's still alive. Isn't that amazing? I love that. Your God, he is your God because he has given you life. You don't talk about somebody's God in the present tense who's dead. Oh, no, Abraham's alive. He's just not here. We're so funny. We think, I don't see it. As though if we don't see it, it doesn't exist. You see any air you're breathing right now? I don't believe it. There's air in this room. I don't believe it. Well, too bad. You're breathing it. Just because you don't see Abraham doesn't mean he's not alive. Well, it's all powerful. It's all powerful. In 1 Corinthians 6:14, the Bible says, by his power, God, that is God the Father, with the power of the Holy Spirit, mind you, raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and he will raise us up also. Mark 1 Corinthians 6:14, you guys, that is a great verse. How do you know that you're going to go to heaven? How do you know you're going to be risen from the dead? Answer, Jesus rose from the dead. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us also. Well, what are we going to look like? And you need to hear this carefully. In 1 John 3, verse 2, it says, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be like, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. Meaning, Jesus is coming soon. Let's be ready. Why does that matter? Because it affects the way that you live. Check this out. It doesn't yet have been revealed to us what we're going to look like, but we know this. We're going to be like him. We're going to be raised in his likeness. But I want to argue with you this. When Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, you can read the accounts throughout Scripture, and you couple that with Old Testament Scriptures that speak about his return, the Bible says in the Old Testament that when Jesus Christ comes in the second coming, the people of Israel will say to him, where did you receive these wounds? On your hands and your feet. And Jesus will say to them, the house of Israel, these are the wounds that I received in the house of my friends. Doubt and unbelief crucified him. Check this out. We know that when Jesus rose again from the dead, remember he was in the room and Thomas was there. And in fact, Thomas had said, I'm not going to believe until I put my finger in the holes in his hands and stick my hand in his rib cage where that big hole is at. Jesus shows up and says, hi, everybody, how you doing? Hey, Tom. Thrust your hand into my side and put your fingers into the holes of my hand and see that it's me. Thomas did it, fell on his face, and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, blessed are those who, never seeing, that's all of you, by the way, yet believe. What did Thomas put his finger in? The resurrected Jesus, glorified body of Christ, but it was scarred. We understand from Scripture that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, will forever be scarred in eternity forever. He will forever bear the marks of his sacrifice. I think that's precious, but then the next carnal question is, well, will I have this scar on my leg I got right now? I don't think so. I think that in the resurrection, because of what he does, it is always good. He will remove from us any residual or any ramification of what sin did to us in this life. And I think that's a beautiful thing to keep in mind. It's going to be all powerful. Secondly, it's going to be all changing. It is going to be amazing. It's going to be all changing because the Scripture teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 52, I told you earlier that we shall be changed. That is a radical, powerful word. I want to point out a verse to you also. 1 Corinthians 15:53 says this. Why does resurrection have to take place? And what kind of a change are you talking about, Jack? Well, it says that this corruption cannot inherit incorruption. This mortal cannot inherit immortality. So when this corruption has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is this written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not awesome? And then finally this, it's absolutely complete. Resurrection will affect you this way, totally complete. Here we go. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 35 to 44, you can jot it down or look at it later in your leisure, I'll paraphrase it. The Bible there says that when you take a seed and you plant it into the ground, the same thing you planted does not come up. That portion of the Bible goes on to say, not all flesh is the same. Fish have one kind of flesh, animals have a certain kind of flesh, and humans have their own kind of flesh. He said, just like there's stars in heaven, some stars are brighter than others, and in fact, there is a sun, and it's bright, and there's a moon, and it's not so bright. Then he goes on to say, regarding the resurrection, that what is put into the ground will come up out of the ground radically different. Just like any of us who are gardeners plant bulbs and seeds and watch what comes out. Can you imagine, would you go buy a bulb or a seed if you planted it and it came up with 500 of exactly what it is you planted? You'd be like, I don't want this. It's ugly. It's ridiculous. We've got to break the way that we think. You ever seen a caterpillar going across your house, your yard? Poor little thing, so dumb looking and ugly. And in my mind, I see all his legs with all these tennis shoes going along. It's a hot day. He's moving along. Looks so dumb. He goes up the wall. He goes up where your Eve is. He spins the chrysalis. He's inside there. And then have you noticed what happens, by the way? It's still the caterpillar. Inside, he turns into an absolute jelly goop. You know what's neat, DNA-wise? Part of the eyeballs over here, part of his legs over there. It's reconstructed, reassembled inside. Did you know that? And then, as it matures, it breaks away, and that caterpillar flies away, and I wish we, well, someday we will know, but I want to ask him, right when he gets to fly away, what are you going to do? I'm flying away. Can you tell us a little bit about your life? Well, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was bound to this world and all the things of it. I barely got out of this thing alive, but now I'm free. I can soar above your house. I can leave this dumpy yard. I can go do whatever I want to do. I've been set free. We need to think. You're going to be resurrected. Where are you going to be? What side of Jesus are you going to be on? You have to choose that today. God is begging you to make the right choice. We're begging you to make the right choice. The choice is yours. You're going to fly or you're going to get stepped on? You're going to go into an eternal, forever dying hell? Or are you going to go into eternal life with the Lord?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Resurrection Factor. It's a look at one of the times the Messiah was challenged by his detractors and how he demonstrated his divine wisdom. We find this in Luke chapter 20 and verses 27 through 40. It's part of our teacher's verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter journey through this eyewitness narrative. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you haven't visited the new realradioactive.org lately, pay us a visit. In fact, click the tab Radio Reaction and see how Real Radio is affecting the lives of other listeners, realradioactive.org. And then, of course, if you've got something to share with us in that department, you can tell us right then and there. realradioactive.org, then click the tab Radio Reaction. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877 RR Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can also be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.